It's Travis here from Everything and Nothing, and I'm here with a new episode to talk to you about everything that's been going on in the media, all the madness surrounding Michael Jackson. Now, anybody who knows me personally knows that Michael's my favorite artist and favorite entertainer and all that good stuff, right? And so I took a very long time, because obviously this news with Neverland, leaving Neverland with Wade and James, saying that he, you know, accusing Michael of this stuff. Obviously, it's been going on for a minute now, so it might seem as though I'm late speaking about it. But really, I wanted to take my time and gather my thoughts and really give you my opinion on it that isn't an opinion that I think has been heard amongst us fans that much. I didn't want to, you know, be biased, so I looked at everything and, well, you know, everything in terms of what was being said, and I watched Dan Reed interviews, and I watched, you know, a lot of fans dispute the allegations, and I seen clips from the documentary. I haven't watched the documentary because I'm not going to, and I'm still not going to. I don't feel I need to. I read enough about what they were accusing, and I've seen enough clips about what they spoke about. And it's really hard to give your opinion about something like this when you're a fan of Michael's. And if you're a fan of his, no matter what you say, it'll be looked at as you being biased. Even if you did all the research that I did, watched all the interviews from Taj and Brandy, and watched all the Rage Holic videos, and even watched, like I said, Dan Reed interviews, more than one, and watch him explain what the thought is behind this, and how he believes these guys, and looking at documents, and I'm not going to go over, like, running down every lie, or every accusation, and everything they said. I'm not going to keep doing that, because that's been done to death, and if people really care to know the truth, or do their own research, it's there for you to do it, you know. The media is going to tell you one thing, because they've always been biased against Michael since the beginning. You know, before the allegations were out, people were saying things about him in the media and tabloids way since the 80s. You know, when the first allegations came out in 93. So by this time, when this happened, Michael already had the Wacko Jacko title that they like to throw on him. He was already accused of sleeping in the oxygen chamber. He was already accused of bleaching his skin and having all these major surgeries. And, you know, he was already accused of doing all that. He already had wrote his book, Moonwalk. That was already out. But people still, I guess, chose to believe everything they wanted to believe in spite of everything he said. In spite of him disputing it. And not even these, like I said, not even the allegations. I'm saying disputing everything else they said about him. He always disputed that, and it never stuck. It never, people never listened or bought it, or they were just somehow, for some reason, always hell-bent on making him this persona that was opposite of what he was. This persona that was larger than life, but like weird and very eccentric. And then they took what was eccentric about him and like amplified it and added all this other stuff on top of it. So it was like, oh, he's eccentric, but he's like weirdly eccentric. And he's extravagant with how he lives. So that's, you know, everything about Michael was always exaggerated and taken out of context and flipped upside down and made very worse than it was, right? And so when the allegations came about, the same thing happened. You know? And they took and flipped everything that was out and what was said about him, and then they just made it worse. So, my question is, why did they always do that? Why? Because, you know, it's not, like I said, it's before the allegations.
that he was looked at as being weird. So my question is, why has the media always had this fixation on making Michael look weird or trying to tear down his image? And that's the question that I want to dive into and talk about. Everything else that happened afterwards is just another example of why they wanted to make him look and be this person that he wasn't. And so I'm really trying to figure that out after, you know, seeing all this Neverland stuff go down. That's the one question I walked away with, was why are they hell-bent? Why do they want him to be this pedophile? Because that's what it looks like. It's like anything you refute, it's like, oh no, you're just a fan. Why do you want this to be true? Because that's how it comes off. And so that's my question I got. And so I'm going to try to talk about that and dive deeper into that question. Now, of course, what I say will not be based all entirely on fact. It'll be based on what I've seen the media do and how I've seen them portray celebrities in my lifetime, being a big, I don't know, I guess pop culture person that I am. If it's not obvious from this whole show or the whole podcast in general that I do, I'm a big pop culture person, right? So seeing how the media likes to play games and how they like to tear people down who are like bigger than, you know, or like bigger than life, larger than life, basically. Seeing that and seeing how they did Michael specifically, the question that I have, well, my own answer to the question that I just asked, I think it has to do with the onslaught of the media. Everything was, well, first of all, the decade of the 80s, everything was, you know, about excess, right? And so that includes media coverage or celebrity coverage. And then the introduction of news magazine shows like Entertainment Tonight, and I guess the morning shows, like celebrities were more accessible in a way they weren't before, and it was easier to do interviews, not just daytime interviews, but late night interviews. So then those shows had, you know, because we had the Johnny Carsons and you know, Merv Griffins and all that kind of stuff. And then once they went off the air, like, it was a whole bunch of onslaught of late night television in the 80s concerning talk shows, and then late night news magazine shows. And I feel like the 80s just upped the ante in celebrity coverage in general more than the previous decade, which was the 70s. And so Michael, being by this time the late 80s, mid 80s, being as big as he was, because Thriller was such a juggernaut, saying his name or printing his name obviously created big bucks and big money. And then tabloids being what they are, no one's going to want to read the truth about anybody, because that's not fun. That's not interesting. That's not, I don't know why people have this fixation on reading things that are bad to make themselves feel good, even if that stuff isn't true. And even if they believe it, they don't care if it's true or not. If they read it and they believe it, then it's done, you know. And I think that's a part of human nature. Not a good part, but it's there nonetheless. And it's very easy for someone to believe something salacious or something true, because, like I said, the part in us that likes to believe the worst about ourselves and each other is, unfortunately, what sells these rags, you know. And so Michael being in the onslaught of that and being one of many celebrities who were big at that time, he caught his share of it, you know. And there were, like, times where I think he even admitted that he would, like, sort of sell stories, but, like, stories that were not, I guess, damaging to the point of messing his reputation up, but, like, stories that were, like, harmless. And he would do that for fun, if I recall him saying that one time. But, like, after that, the stories that were said about him or told about him started to become more serious and more, I guess, stories that could ruin his career or become detrimental to his career. And so I guess that's when he started having an issue with it. Like the whole, what I said before, Wacko Jacko and the oxygen and all that kind of stuff. It's more than, but like, why is that the case? And like I said, because the tabloids like to sell this gossip stuff that we all eat up, where we all, well, I want to say, well, we as people, not like, you know, not generation to generation kind of thing, but just people in general like to read stuff that, whether it's true or not, if it's something salacious, for some reason, we are always just gravitated towards it, and we end up believing that it's true. I don't know what it is. We people don't, and it's more obvious today than it was then, because now we have so many other media outlets when it comes to social media, as well as the regular media or general media. It's so many more avenues out there to get news that's true or false, so you're like really confused as to what's what, you know. But for some reason, it's always tried and true. People believe things that are bad before they believe things that are real and true. And like Michael, the thing Michael said too, that saying about the truth of one circles around, or like the I'm not even going to try to say it, but it was something like the truth runs the marathon, the lie runs circles around the truth, but the truth always wins at the end. It was a saying like that he used to say, but I don't remember it by verbatim. But yeah, so basically the truth is harder to sort through when you have all this false narrative out there. And so when these things started happening with Michael, it was really because we all played, well, people played a part in that because they believed it. And so there was already this kind of seedy image when it came to him. And then he was, I guess, sort of semi-private about his personal life, and no one really knew that much about his personal life. So then that also made it easy to, like, jump on and add all this stuff and all these, you know, false narratives that they did. And it was easy for people to believe because it was like, well, we don't see anything that's opposite. And so then they would believe what these magazines, tabloids printed. And so I think that carried over to him being larger than life. And like I said, taking everything out of context that he did. And I think that helped shape people's opinion about him already when it came to those allegations, the first ones. Now, I believe that's because his name sold. It's simple. It really is simple. It's not difficult at all to figure out why it was that they were just putting him all over the TV at the time, because his name sells. His name sells. Here is probably the biggest star in the world having to go through something like this. And people are like, oh yeah, this is good. This will get us the ratings. This will get us... It all equated to, in my opinion, money. Or ratings, or whatever you want to call it. That's the big goal at the end. So, That's the simple answer for me. So when you had the allegations, and then you had him settling, which if you look deeper into that, that's not quite as what it seems either. But then you have people who watch the news and watch the coverage of the whole first set of allegations and believe what they see on the surface. No one's trying to do their research. It probably was harder back then because the internet wasn't really popping. So it probably was harder to do your research. And then when you have the media as the only outlet to get the news from in terms of entertainment or what was going on with celebrities, they were already biased, so you really didn't have them telling the truth. And then it was hard to just take, hard to believe, hard to get the truth out there to be believed, you know, because there was nothing, or to even research to see if what was said was true. It was hard to do that, even if you didn't have questions or had questions. Either way, it was still hard to get the answers you were looking for, you wanted to know, other than what the TV was telling you, you know. And so that's what I feel like set this whole thing in motion. That's what created the dark cloud over Michael, is not the allegations, they were like the cherry on top. I think the tabloids and the media sensation surrounding him and his public persona and the lack of personal knowledge that we knew about him, I think that started the onslaught of, I guess, Michael's image that's slightly tarnished now. I think that whole thing when the 80s hit and he was big back then, I think all that started the image issues for him. And then it just carried on, and the cherry on top was the allegations in 93. And then here you go. So now, ever since then, it's been very easy to say things like this about him and for people to believe it, because no one's ever had to do their own research. They just believe and trusted the TV and the news, because we at that time didn't feel like the news was against us, or, you know, we thought it was for us and that they were always telling the truth. And but no, I think we know better now, especially since we can do our own research. And so that, to me, is what really, like I said, tarnished Michael's image to me. Because his image is they're trying to ruin his image. And that's what made it easy for James and Wade to come out with these stories and say what they said about him, because people already were leaning towards, oh, Michael did this anyway. So when they made this little, you know, macaroni movie, whatever you want to call it, they knew going into this that it wouldn't change anybody's mind about, you know, whether Michael did it or not. They knew people would watch this going into it already believing Michael was guilty. Because of what was said before, because of the 2005 trial, and let's not get started on that. Because this is more about the allegations or the trials, or it's about how people are so easily duped into believing something based on stories they read over a period of time. It's not specifically, I'm not trying to specifically speak about Leaving Neverland itself. I'm just trying to speak about what I feel in the media makes people assume or believe the worst in celebrities, no matter who they are, based on how big they are and how plastered they are on the screen. And I think Michael was one of the celebrities that fell victim to that, because he was an eccentric person as well. And so I feel like all of that made it easy for people to believe he was just this weirdo. But yeah, so I'm not trying to speak specific to Leaving Neverland itself, but I am trying to speak to what I feel Wade's and James' sentiment was, which was that they knew that this would be easily believed. And they knew that this time was the time to do it because of the whole Me Too movement and Time's Up movements. Also, we know that the statute of limitations was up for him to be charged for perjury for the 2005 trial. Wait. So it's very coincidental that he would come up with this mockumentary after the statute of limitations was up for that trial, or when he testified. Because if he's telling the truth now, as he says he is, he would have been charged for lying then. Or they would have tried to do that, I guess. I don't know. But the thing is, maybe he's not worried about. Well, maybe he was worried about that. But my thing is, I don't think he. We're gonna skip that. I'm not gonna get into him too much. I'm gonna try to stay around the topic. But anyway, they knew what they were doing, I feel. And it's easy to be like, I'm not one of the fans out here saying, oh, it's just money they wanted. I don't think it was just money they wanted. I don't think that's it at all. I mean, they're suing the law, they're suing the estate, of course, and they're trying to appeal it. And, you know, because it's the third time they're trying to go for it. So it's obviously some money is kind of an incentive. You can't say it's not, right? But it's more than that, in my opinion, because I feel like whatever comes from this, Wade is going to use this to better himself and find opportunities for work. And I think that's what it's really about. I think you want the money, yeah, that's good. But I think this is him trying to further his influence and further his career and keep his name out there. Even if he has to be associated with Michael in this way, since everybody wants to believe it, I think it's worth it to him to still have his name out there and to still be known and to still find a way to make a living. I think that's what he's doing. I think he's playing the long game. Okay? Because no matter what now, people are going to continually associate him with Michael more so than they did before. And I think it's worth it to him, even if he has to be associated with him in this way. It's worth it to him because now he got what he wanted. He's now tied to Michael forever. And every time they say Wade or bring Wade's name up, they're going to say the accuser, Michael Jackson's accuser, the guy who accused Michael Jackson, the guy, like, they're always going to bring their name up together. And I think he wanted that. I think he wants to keep his name out there. And, you know, he can say that, oh, he just wants justice and, you know, all that other good stuff that people buy up and eat up, like the cake. But I think from what I've read and from what I've seen and from what I and even heard from them, like, Michael didn't pursue them, but, you know, people want to gloss all over that. But my point is that this. I think the media and us as consumers of the media, I think we play a part, obviously, in how a celebrity's image is torn down or built up or, you know, however they're looked at by other people. And I think we did that with Michael. I think we saw what we saw. We bought the rags, we looked at the news magazines, we believed all the salaciousness, and so now it's easy to look at these allegations, especially around this time, and be like, yes, he did it. I don't think people really went into watching that so-called movie and thought, oh, this is going to vindicate Michael. We're going to see if these guys are telling the truth or not. The thing played on people's emotions, played on how people were already leaning towards Michael being guilty, and it worked. So now, what do we do about that? Because if you can just go around saying things like that about other celebrities and famous people who are known, then nobody's safe. Because if we're supposed to just take everybody's word for it, then everybody in that business is in trouble. Because someone, the next person, the next Joe, nobody can come along and say that about any celebrity now. And it's like, oh my God. Like, that's dangerous because you're messing with people's livelihood and ruining people's reputation. And, you know, and it's hard to bounce back from that. So there has to be some kind of standard. Like, okay, we'll listen to the accuser. But then we have to do our own research and look into whether this is true or not. Because if it's not true and it messes somebody's career up, or live up, we can't just be like, oh, well, we thought it was true. Sorry for ruining your life. Okay, let's go on about our business. Life goes on. You can't do that and just leave the person struggling and trying to grasp for air. Like, that's not right to me. So that's my whole point. It's like, what are we going to do about people so easily believing things that aren't true without looking into it themselves? And even if you do look into it and still believe he's guilty, then that's just what you're going to believe. You know, but there still has to be some kind of set standard to how we support victims of this and still do our due diligence and making sure that, you know, all our ducks are lined up and not just quickly believing something and grabbing it and taking it and running with it. And then once we find out it's not the case, we just say, uh-oh, sorry, oops. There has to be something that, or a way to do this whole, ooh, you were accused thing, let's look into it, without just completely canceling somebody. And so that's what I wanted to say about that whole madness. I don't think, people say that, you know, it will get better before it gets worse. And I think that's true, because now here we have Mr. Aaron Carter, who, one way or the other, I didn't trust anything he had to say anyway, because this is the same guy who said that he was bisexual or thinks he might be gay in some way, and then turned around and said he wasn't. And so I don't know what he was trying to say or do, but he's apparently came out in support of Michael and said that they tried to offer him money to say that something happened with him and Michael. And then now he's saying that he has something to say that people might not like about Michael. So it's like, but what are you? So I don't know. That's really weird to me too. You know, they're getting people to try to turn against him. And I mean, I don't want to be all a conspiracy theory person, but it does seem like there's a vendetta against him in some kind of way because of the whole Owen and Sony thing. And people can deny that all they want, but Sony was not pleased with him owning half their catalog, or being half owner of the catalog. Anyway, they were not pleased with that. I don't care what nobody say. Does that have something to do with him dying? I don't know. That'd be a little kooky to say that, but you never know. But anyway, that's my whole thought process on this whole Michael Jackson stuff. I mean, nothing's going to change my mind about, you know, how I feel about him, because I just don't believe that he was capable of this. I think he was just very naive, and he put himself in situations that ended up making it look very, very bad for him. And I think he, in his heart of hearts, felt like he was doing the right thing, being around these kids and taking care of them and seeing the pureness that they brought and the joy that they brought when they were around him. And I think his mind never went to that place of, oh, I should not be around them because this will be seen as inappropriate. He never paid attention to that. He was not in that frame of mind to be like, this doesn't, like, he wasn't perceptive in that way. To him, it was, oh, I'm doing right by these kids because they need me and because they are kids and because I love the energy they bring and it reminds me of what I didn't have. And so his mind was always set on that. And I'm sure there are people around him like, Mike, you need to cut it out and not be around kids so much. But he's like, no. Why? Because I'm doing good for them. I don't see why that is bad. And I don't think he understood how it looked all the time. You know, he didn't understand that, I don't think. But, you know, I mean, you can say us fans are biased for believing what we believe, but the stories with these two men are inconsistent. There's too many things that are popping up that are not consistent. And so you can't keep excusing it like, oh, well, it's this. Well, he meant this. But he meant this. But he meant that. But it was this. It was that. Like, it's, okay, what? Might as well throw the whole movie away then. Throw it out. Because how... You can't keep saying, oh, well, that was wrong, but this is what he meant. But this is what he meant. Well, then, how is it a documentary if everything is, or slowly things are coming up inconsistent? So, I don't know. But yeah, that's what I think about this. Michael, I'm always going to be the biggest fan of his, and I'm never going to waver on that. He got me through some tough times, and I can tell through everything he did, being the humanitarian he was and the person he was, I felt as though I could tell the kind of person he was and the kind of person that he inspired me to be. So I'm just going to continue to be that and do that, and people can stay unbiased if they want, but, you know, I can say the same thing with how the media made him look to everybody. And that it made them biased for automatically believing this story when it came out. So there, it can go both ways, you know. But I want to go now. I'll talk to you all later. I feel like I have dry mouth now. And there we go.